Welcome to the Wellness and Healthy Lifestyle Show on your VOCM. Now here's your host, Dr. Mike Wall.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Wall. Today we have the first of a four-part series with our friends at Bounce Health Innovation, which is an organization here in Newfoundland and Labrador that supports the efforts of health tech entrepreneurs as they're changing the face of healthcare for us here at home. Bounce and his team have helped or are helping over 70 companies here in the province, ranging from medical genetics to technology and education tools for patients. This is the first of our four-part series, and today we're looking at local advances in personalized medicine and how health tech is being used to educate patients, even in the most remote areas, so they can still improve their health. Joining me today is Andy Fisher, the director of Bounce, to give us more background on the Bounce organization and their guests. Hi, Andy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great. Actually, this is going to be the first of a four-part series we're doing this year on health tech here in the province, which is really exploding. You are the director of Bounce Health Innovation. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about yourself and the organization.
Sure. So, I'm an engineer by background, and I spent a long time teaching at the university in the engineering faculty. But towards the end of that particular career, I joined a health tech startup and got really excited about what's going on in health tech. And since that time, I've joined this initiative called Bounce Health Innovation. So Bounce Health Innovation is a project of TechNL, which is an industry association. And the mission of this is to really accelerate the growth of the health tech sector. So it's funded by the federal and provincial governments. And that's it. That's the mission, is let's see what we can do to accelerate the growth of health tech in Newfoundland.
Yeah, last time we chatted, I couldn't believe how many different organizations are really up and coming within this. You guys are really the people that give them their first shot to be able to grow and innovate and be really creative around it. How fast is the health tech sector growing here in Newfoundland and Labrador?
It is pretty crazy. In the short life of Bounce, which is about 5 years old now, there's been, I think it's close to 70 companies that we've worked with. Now, not all of them still exist, as you would expect with startups, but typically those individuals continue to pursue health tech once they get the bug. And so it's great to see. So yeah, there's an awful lot happening, and it's a great time.
Well, that's right. And when I was asking about what companies should we chat to today, you suggested four separate companies. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about those organizations and why you think they're so important that we share their story.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's challenging because there are so many people that are doing so many good things. And when you talk about health tech, you're combining technology to solve some of the critical healthcare challenges that we're facing. So any one of those is a brilliant story. And depending on an individual, they'll connect more with the diabetes space or their chronic heart conditions or whatever. So they're all exciting. So really, it's not which four above all, it's like which four right now, right? That's what we're talking about. You and I chatted a bit as well about kind of sectors of health tech, what's going on, and maybe ways of categorizing things. And I thought there were two things that maybe we could focus on to begin with. And one is really dealing with patients where they are, access to healthcare, which technology enables in a way that other things didn't. And so AMP Health is working with individuals who are pre-diabetic typically or struggling with their health. And it's really a way of connecting with them using technology and artificial intelligence, other ways to help guide them uniquely with their condition. Breathe Suite is another one. Again, typically people that are recovering from a severe pulmonary challenge, and maybe they've been in hospital and they're coming out. We know that there's pulmonary rehab is a good way to go, but most people can't access that. And so Breathe Suite is bringing virtual rehab to them. So there's two that's really talking about how does access change when you use technology? And the other thing that's really important right now is that healthcare is unique to the individual. So we need highly hyper-personalized healthcare. We're all different. And so anything you read is going to be general and it's going to be great information, but it's not going to be specific to you. So then you get into something like NewClick, which is looking at the gut microbiome. It's able to specifically look at your gut microbiome and help you understand what's going on inside your body. There's tons more to say about the microbiome. It's a really exciting area, but I'll let Nikki or Purvi talk about that. And then you get into sort of what most people think is more complex, which is the genome. And then we get into things like sequence bio. So that's another one where you can really look at the genetics of each individual. And then what does that tell us and how does that help us? And I'm going to say, how does that help us help them help themselves? Because I think the future of healthcare is everyone is taking more responsibility, but has more understanding of their own health situation.
Oh, it's perfect. And so true, too, because technology, for example, even me by wearable tech, it allows you to have insights into your own health that you never would have had before if it wasn't for this technology. So I'm really excited for this series of shows that we're going to do over the course of the year. We're going to feature a lot of different companies that are doing different things. And today's topics are super interesting for anybody looking to improve their personal health and understand how tech is shaping things. Now, if somebody is listening, though, and they do have an idea or they're contemplating running into this health tech space and starting a company, how do they reach out to Bounce and your team?
I mean, probably the easiest way, just search Bounce Health Innovation. It is bounceinnovation.ca. And my email is director at bounceinnovation.ca. But there's a spot you can click on the website to just put in a comment, and that'll get to me, and we'll follow up. And it's really kind of a zero barriers to entry thing. Like, you might not even know what you want to do. You might have an idea, or maybe you're fully formed and on the way and need some help in getting where you need to go. So we help at all stages. And there are many other great parts of the ecosystem to help companies, but we're specifically focused on health tech.
Well, that's fantastic. And thank you so much for organizing all this and getting me connected with all these different organizations. We got a lot of conversations to have today. So I'm going to let you go, and we're going to check in with the folks here at NewClick.
Terrific. Thanks very much. Great talking with you.
Hi, Dr. Gandel. Hi, Dr. Balagher. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
It's always good to be back.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've known each other so long now, it's Nikki and Purview. However, you guys are PhD researchers and you do run a company called NewClick Biologics. Maybe you guys can give me a little bit of a background on yourselves for our listening audience.
Yeah, so I am Nikita Kindiala. I did my PhD in biochemistry here at MUN. I originally come from India, but I'm in Newfoundland, my home. It's over a decade now, I'm living there. So after my PhD, me and Purview, we started NewClick, now serving towards how microbiome can help the gut health. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm Purvi, and I finished my PhD too here. I came to Canada, it's been like 13 years, and as I said, like we finally found our home, and we came as bachelors. Now we have two kids and a family and a company, all in St. John's.
Yes.
I love that. Yes, it's fantastic. And I love hearing the story of you guys starting this organization. And it's such an interesting thing because you're blending your academic backgrounds. You're looking at a major health risk, which is gut microbiome. So before we get into specifically what your technology does, why don't you guys explain to me why the microbiome that lives inside of our gut is so important?
So in terms of microbiome, it is important. Why it is important is the question. So science, especially, we've been seeing the research evolving over decades time now. And we are seeing that how we can implement that microorganism science into our betterment of the human health. So as the science is saying that there is no human disease that is not associated with the microbiome. So we are using that science to understand how we can regulate our health. So when we say microbiome, it is not just the organisms that infect us, but also contributes to your digestion, your immune health, education, and your vitamin synthesis. So, and also the major gut-brain axis contributor, regulating your mood, energy, and various other neurodegenerative diseases. So we are only unrevealing the beauty of this microorganism, how they are contributing and how we can understand it better to regulate our health.
That's interesting. I think if people do think about that, they think about things that are external to us somehow causing us to get sick, but we forget that we've got this interplay with these organisms inside of our body that are so important for so many different things. Now, I'm sure that being able to measure microbiome isn't completely novel, but how you guys are doing it on a larger scale for the population is. Can you guys explain what your company actually does?
So as you know, we are a microbiome company, and we are using this science, the microbiome science, to transform how we manage chronic disease symptoms. So our idea is to progress towards generating the services, the products that helps in revealing this microbiome science and how we can manage those symptoms. Because now we see one in every four person diagnosed with a chronic disease, and it's only going to get worse after the age of 40. And how we are going to manage embrace this as a big question. And I think we have to, and the science is also working towards how we can regulate this chronic diseases. And we are using the precision microbiome science to understand how we can regulate the chronic diseases. So one of the examples that I can give is, for example, rheumatoid arthritis, which is in your joints, where it's very largely connected to your butt. It's an interesting connection. And you can use the diet changes, which can help you regulate the pain. So we are contributing the services, which will help you to understand how you can manage those chronic diseases. And that's where we're using that. Yeah.
And that's how we launched the product called Gut Check. It's the first gut microbiome analysis in Canada, and it's the most comprehensive report that the customers get out of it. So the process involves the collection of stool sample, and the customers send the sample direct back to our labs, and we analyze and we send them with a comprehensive report, which consists of dissecting their microbiome, what is present, how it is impacting their current, and also the future risks associated with that. And not only that, the main solution part is the personalized food recommendations and probiotic recommendations. So many people have different misconceptions about probiotics, but without knowing what they require, that is an important point. That's where we unveil what is a probiotic that required and what is the foods that your gut requires. Based upon your gut potential, it's important to bring the balance in your gut microbiome. So maintaining the balance and improving the diversity is a key here. And that's where the Gut Check helps them do that one.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, is that not all foods, even if they're healthy foods, necessarily work well for an individual, because it relies on this microbiome inside of our digestive system to be able to break down these foods. So myself, I've done this test. My mother has done this test. I'm a big advocate for what you guys do. And it was really enlightening to me to think that I've had all these foods on this list of these are healthy, these are unhealthy, but certain ones didn't work. Really, for me, it was very enlightening to learn a little bit more about my body, all these things that I thought I was doing right that weren't necessarily right for me, but in general, were good, healthy habits, but I needed to tweak. If somebody is interested in this, maybe they're dealing with a chronic condition, maybe they're looking at just improving their general health and tweaking their routine a little bit for a healthy lifestyle, how do they get a hold of you guys?
So they can reach out to us on website, and it's mygutcheck.ca. The product name is called Gut Check, and the Nuclein Biologics is our company name. If you type Nuclein or the Gut Check in Canada, the first thing that comes is the mindgutcheck.ca.
Perfect. That's perfect. Well, guys, I guess I got a bit of a question, a philosophical question for you. And that is that you guys have been able to apply your science, your learning. You've been able to create this organization. It's novel, it's new, and it's making a really big impact. What's your advice to anybody that's listening that might be contemplating taking that leap into entrepreneurship, in particular in the health tech sector?
I think being the researchers, we could implement a lot of our learnings from our PhD, which teaches you resilience, which teaches you perseverance, and which also teaches you to be patient. I think we just applied that. And also the analytical thinking of having those hypotheses and objectives and solving it, that side of it, we could definitely apply that. So if you have an idea, I think we just see a goal for it. And there is definitely insane. John's a very good ecosystem that would help you to validate your idea and how to bring it to life. And I think the key is to start. So we would say that's where you begin, and then your background, technical or whatever the knowledge you have, would anyways imply that into your journey.
If anybody thinks of entrepreneurships, I would definitely say the PhDs also will make it great entrepreneurs. We have like that kind of insecure in the feeling, oh, we are not from the business background and all. But no, on the learnings that we do, like the mistakes we do, hypothesis, as Nikki said, patience, resilience, all these things are required for the entrepreneurship. So we make the best of it.
No, that's fantastic. Well, it's great to see you guys. It's great to hear you're doing so well. You're progressing and evolving all the time. I'll be sure to check in and probably do for another test myself. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us.
Today, we're learning about the exciting innovations in personalized medicine and patient education happening through Bounce Health Innovation here in the province.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of the Wellness and Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Mike Wall. Listen live Thursday nights at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 4 p.m.
Welcome back. Today, we're learning about the exciting innovations in personalized medicine and patient education that are happening through the Bounce Health Innovation Program here in the province. let's get back to the interviews with our tech entrepreneurs.
Hi, Lynn. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you, and it's great to catch up on everything. You guys have a lot going on at Sequence Bio. For the folks that are listening on the radio that may not know much about your organization, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about the company?
Yeah, sure. So I am honored to have the role of CEO of Sequence Bio. We are a Newfoundland and Labrador-based biotechnology company connecting genetic research to discover the true biological causes of disease. We collaborate with the people and medical professionals of our province to conduct our genetic research, and we partner with leading pharma and biotech to help accelerate the development of better preventions, treatments, and medicines for global unmet medical needs. And Mike, maybe I can unpack that a little bit further for you and dig into a couple of elements of that. So approximately 90%, crazy number, of drug candidates fail and therefore can never help people in need. And drugs with genetic evidence as part of their development process are twice as likely to be approved through the regulatory approval process. Sequence Bio's mission is to address the major cause of drug development failure by discovering better drug targets faster through leveraging the biological impact of our founder population here in Newfoundland and Labrador.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And you're totally right. Personalized medicine and having an approach that really understands the human body and the individual themselves is so critical. And you said the founder population. Can you put in perspective just how unique the genetic population is here in Newfoundland and Labrador? Because we're really special compared to most of the world.
We are absolutely very special. And happy to kind of expand on that a little bit. So in the study of population genetics, a founder population, which I referenced earlier, or founder effect, occurs when a new population is established from a small number of individuals that came from a larger population, resulting in a reduction in genetic diversity, or sometimes it's called genetic drift, compared to the original population. So if you take that to our situation, it kind of stems back to those 25,000 or so migrants who came to Newfoundland and Labrador from southwestern England and Ireland in the late 18th and early 19th century. So in that sense, the homogeneous nature of our genetic makeup is a great advantage. This kind of population genetic structure and reduction of genetic variation has advantages as it makes Newfoundland and Labrador highly conducive for genetic research and the potential identification and study of genetic variants that contribute to the risk and severity of certain diseases. One of my colleagues, a prior colleague, who I think might have been on your show before, often used the analogy of, you know, genetic research and drug discovery research being like looking for a needle in a haystack. And when you're looking and working with a founder population like Newfoundland and Labrador, you have the benefit of your signal-to-noise ratio being much more pronounced. And so essentially what that translates to is when you're looking for that needle in the haystack, there's much less hay, and it gives you a much greater chance of finding that needle.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy, actually. And you know, it's funny because in the world of wellness, people always talk about your behavior. It's your exercise. It's the food you eat. But we are learning more and more all the time that the blueprint that makes up our body and our genetics plays a huge role when it comes to our health. Can you explain like how genetics predisposes certain populations to different conditions and on a very Coles Notes version?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, genetic, as you touched on, genetic research studies how individual genes or groups of genes are involved in health and disease. Understanding those factors in genetic disorders is so important in learning more about promoting health and preventing disease. So we all have that blueprint or DNA genetic blueprint, and there's certain elements of that we can't change. But being able to understand that blueprint and those genetic factors combined with focusing on other elements that we can influence, so your environment, your lifestyle choices, you know, kind of how you live, are critical components in terms of our overall health. And the potential and real-world uses of genetics in healthcare is vast and growing. For us, focusing on the one part or element of that, so our drug discovery research efforts, leveraging genetic research and our genetic data, is what's incredibly exciting at this, you know, kind of point in time.
Mm.
Yeah, that is important. And I think that, you know, it's funny because the genetics play such a role when it comes to health, because I was in Sardinia recently where there's a blue zone. And the guy was like, not to knock the cookbooks that say to eat the food from this region, but like eating minestrone soup won't make you live to 120. It's the genetics right. of the region that are really making a difference. But what's interesting is the genome is just so complicated. How is using technology and combining it with health sort of changing the face of healthcare? Because that sounds like exactly what you guys are doing.
Yeah, 100%. So I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, our research and what we focus on is at the very intersection of science and technology. And you did a great segue there, Mike. Being able to analyze the DNA sequence of a human genome across a cohort of research participants, you know, we may have anywhere from a couple of hundred to a few thousand in our research studies, requires extraordinary compute power, incredibly complicated algorithms, complex models to identify possible novel genetic variations that are not only associated with certain diseases, but possibly causative diseases. So the technology required to support that science is just incredibly sophisticated and complex. In addition, privacy and security are rooted in all elements of the design, development, and maintenance of our tech infrastructure. So for us, our science can't exist without the underpinning technology. And it's an incredibly exciting time to be in the field. I mean, I think 20 years ago, when some of our peers first started to look at the founder effect and what that could mean from a research perspective, at that time, based on the advances in technology, it wasn't conceivable to do DNA sequencing in any large volume of data because it was just so costly.
Yeah.
But now advances in technology, et cetera, make that much more attainable. So it's just really exciting for us right now.
Yeah, I can only imagine what's going to happen now with the advent of AI and all these different things that can help us to be able to analyze so much. And I guess the big question is for people listening, like, this is using some of our genetics and studying individuals in our population. How does your work specifically improve the health of Newfoundlanders and Labradorians?
Yeah, you know, Mike, I think about that question in two parts. Our research can't exist or continue without the participation of the people of our province. Like, that is at the very core of what we do, both in terms of our research participants and our collaborations with medical professionals here in the Newfoundland and Labrador. We take the trust that our research participants and collaborators place in our research very seriously and are focused on maintaining that trust and being very transparent. Drug discovery research, like the work of Sequence Bio, can take years. But ultimately, if we are successful in supporting the development of new treatments and therapies for certain diseases, that may benefit those living with that illness, both in Newfoundland and Labrador and other parts of the world. There's great uncertainty in drug discovery research, but we're committed to those research efforts. The other way in which I think about this question is from an economic development perspective. We're helping to build an innovative life sciences sector right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. We're building strong ties of collaboration within the healthcare system and Memorial University, and we're contributing to significant investments in STEM, job creation, and job growth. Contributing to a diversified economic growth driver and sector in our province has an incredibly positive impact on the lives of Newfoundlanders and Labradorians, in addition to the potential research benefits down the road.
Yeah, and that's what we're learning over the next four series episodes, just how big this sector is becoming. And what's really interesting is I've known you for a long time. I know that you've come from, I always call it a braided river. There's different paths and lives that take us a certain place. What's your advice to somebody who is looking at a career and they're thinking, okay, maybe health tech is a place that would fit me?
Yeah, no, I think this is an incredibly exciting time for entrepreneurs in our province, particularly in the life sciences and health tech sector. The focus on research innovation within all facets of the ecosystem, you know, government, Newfoundland Labrador Health Services, Memorial University, Genesis, Bounce Innovation, TechNL, it's just palpable right now. This focus includes, you know, areas such as strategy, policy development, support, and mentorship. And I guess my advice would probably be twofold for aspiring entrepreneurs. And one is to continue to challenge and push, focus on innovative approaches to the challenges we do face. Push and challenge the status quo and lean into your passion and areas of discomfort. This is where we all learn and grow the most. And I think also, secondly, you know, always be aware of the need to strive that balance between advancing the frontiers of knowledge through research and translating that knowledge into commercially viable products or services. Both are critical to ensuring that one's innovation can have a broad clinical and economic impact.
No, that's fantastic. Well, it's great to see you, and it's great to hear more about the organization. I'm glad we can share that with everybody because there is so much exciting stuff happening here in health tech. Lynn, it's great to see you. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Mike. I appreciate the time.
Today, we're learning about the exciting innovations in personalized medicine and patient education happening through Bounce Health Innovation here in the province.
The Tim Power Show. Join the conversation weekday afternoons at 4 p.m. on your VOCM.
Welcome back. Today, we're learning about the exciting innovations in personalized medicine and patient education that are happening through the Bounce Health Innovation Program here in the province. Let's get back to the interviews with our tech entrepreneurs.
Hi, Brett. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to catch up. I've been keeping tabs on your organization for quite a while now, and you guys have been growing. But for the people that are listening that may not be aware of BreedSuite, can you tell me a little bit about your company?
Totally. So we started as a pure sort of medical device company, and that device would help patients monitor their inhaler usage, make sure they're taking their inhalers correctly, primarily for the asthma COPD population. And since then, we've kind of evolved as a company to adding in the services component and wrapping around more of a program around the monitoring. So where we are today is we've created a fully virtual pulmonary rehab program that allows patients to go through a comprehensive pulmonary rehab program over a 12-week period. Obviously, we have maintenance beyond that as well, and then obviously use sort of the monitoring technologies that we built as a part of that program. So that's a little bit about us.
That's interesting. And so when you think about respiratory or pulmonary, for people listening, you know, pulmonary has to do with the lungs. What are some of the major conditions that you guys would be helping people navigate?
Yeah, so naturally we see a lot of COPD, and obviously there's other, you know, conditions that we'll treat as well. You know, asthma on more on the severe side, interstitial lung disease, bronchiectasis, even post COVID. Actually, we see some patients there. So really, kind of anyone who's like clinically indicated to do this type of a sort of a rehab program, you know, we'd be open to treating them. And obviously, there are nuances with each of these conditions, but our approach is obviously very, very personalized. So we can take on each of those patients in a unique way.
Well, I think that's another thing that's really interesting is you guys are using data to drive the progress and be able to rehabilitate people. Why is that approach so innovative when it comes to managing these conditions, and how does it actually benefit the patient to be tracked as they go through the rehabilitation?
Yeah, I think it's a really, really important part, mainly because any, let's say, one size fits all approach, that's just not the way healthcare works, right? Like it's you're not going to get the same benefit of going through just a generic program that's the same for every individual. Like every person that we see may have different comorbidities. They may have different sort of functional impairments that they may struggle with. There might be different environmental factors in their living environment and that sort of thing that could make things challenging. So taking all of those data points around demographics, around location, around what kind of condition they have, and using that to say, okay, we're going to give you this program that's really designed for you in this particular way. We're going to address those functional impairments that you have in this particular way. I think that's really how you ultimately engage a patient to be meaningful. So, you know, a good story is one of the individuals that we worked with, he was a caregiver for his wife. So bed transfers were difficult as a result of COPD exacerbations, and pushing the wheelchair around the house like was difficult as a result of that. So, you know, we designed his program around those types of strength-based exercises to simulate a bed transfer. Obviously, cardio exercises to simulate wheelchair pushing and that sort of thing. And ultimately, when he starts going through and doing those exercises regularly, he starts to see a difference in like the day-to-day, you know, life that he wants to be able to contribute to. And ultimately, I think that's a huge kind of game changer when it comes to ultimately, you know, designing around the patient and sort of using data in a meaningful way to deliver a good experience.
No, I love that. I think that's such an important thing. Personalized medicine is becoming so important, and the advent of technology that allows big data to be analyzed, these are all things that are going to change the face of healthcare. If I was going to walk through it, like you're going to walk me through how the tech works specifically, take me through step by step everything, because I've seen your device. Some of the newer innovations are things that are novel to me, but walk me through how the device works, how the tech works, how somebody goes through your program.
Yeah, for sure. So right at the start, primarily we work with like pulmonary doctors. So a pulmonary doctor would refer their patient to us. We essentially you know, reach out to them and obviously make sure that they want to participate, whatever insurance coverage, obviously make sure we have all of that in place. And then we basically ship everything they need directly to the individual. So that will include a blood pressure cuff, a pulse oximeter, obviously our you know, breathe speed sensor, if they have sort of an inhaler that will fit that device. And essentially then that's kind of the kickstart of the program. So all of these devices obviously can be data that's fed into basically our platform. You know, obviously when patients are going through the program, they're meeting with a physical therapist, they're doing sort of asynchronous things on sort of their own time in our platform. Obviously, you know, sort of using, you know, the device to make sure you're tracking inhaler usage, et cetera. But again, primarily, I think it's really sort of providing them everything they need to do this rehab program from home, not have to worry about going anywhere. And ultimately using all those data points to actually drive that further. So the device itself, the one that we've, you know, built through to the gotten through FDA, et cetera, it really fits on top of most like metered dose inhalers, and will essentially track, you know, when a patient is taking their medication, but also how well. A lot of patients with COPD and asthma, other lung conditions, et cetera, actually don't understand that they're taking their inhaler incorrectly, resulting in a lot of that medication not actually reaching their lungs. So the device really kind of helps train a patient on, you know, how to do that more effectively. And again, it's sort of wrapped around sort of these services components to the program that's obviously makes a huge impact.
Well, that kind of brings me to one of the big points here, and that is like technology like this is helping the people that are suffering from these conditions that can be debilitating and totally affect their quality of life and also require a significant amount of medical attention. What's the benefit to the community when people are leveraging technology like yourselves when it comes to the burden of disease?
Yeah, I feel like we could talk about this for an hour. You know, I think we all know the common issues, like there's not enough primary care doctors, there's not enough specialists to be able to treat the amount of patients that can benefit from this. We've got super long wait lists, et cetera. So, you know, using technology to essentially bring those specialists to the patient at home, or we use remote monitoring technology to scale the amount of people that we're able to see over a year or over a 2 year period, et cetera. All of these things, like, I don't think we'll ever replace doctors, obviously, through AI or anything else that's going on. But I do think that we can obviously make, you know, their workflows a lot easier and be able to get patients the personalization that they actually need as a part of that. And I think that's the biggest opportunity in healthcare. There are so many examples of, you know, very large companies that have leveraged technology to create like almost superhuman providers in a way. And I think that will continue to be a trend over these next couple of years. I mean, like even sort of the structure that we have, like traditional pulmonary rehab would be anywhere from, you know, 2 to 3 sessions per week. That's obviously all going to be in person. Whereas we sort of have a mix of like synchronous sessions via like Zoom, whatever the case may be, and basically asynchronous sessions that are completely on the patient's own time. So a prime example of how we can increase the number of patients that we can see by leveraging technologies to sort of deliver that program.
And compliance, because people can do it on their own time. It can work, especially when we think about rural aspects in their community and things like that. So those are all really good solutions, and that makes perfect sense. I guess the other thing is I've been watching your progress over the last number of years since you guys first began. It's been a really incredible journey, and you guys are really hitting your stride now. If there's somebody listening that's the next generation of tech health entrepreneur, what's your advice to them, and what words of encouragement could you give them to take that leap like you guys did?
Yeah, it was funny. We were at a Bounce event, and I was, you know, meeting with a couple of the, I would say, newer entrepreneurs. And I think it's the biggest thing is like we need more people working on challenging problems in healthcare. There is such an opportunity to use technology to actually really, really make a difference at like a provincial, national, international level to sort of overall patient outcomes. And I think the more and more people that are excited by those challenges and excited to sort of introduce new technologies and sort of challenge the status quo, I think that's how we get further ahead. So I would say working in tech, but also working in health tech, basically every time we'll have like a team-wide meeting, we'll tell stories about patient journeys and sort of how we've sort of improved their lives. And, you know, nothing against any other tech company, but like that level of sort of patient story is something that's a little bit unique to health tech, where we're actually making a real, real strong difference and impact to people's lives. And I think there's nothing more exciting than that. So I would say that's a good thing.
That's fantastic. That's a great message. And it's great to hear about the organization. It's great to hear how well you guys are doing and how you're growing and evolving all the time. Brett, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Today, we're learning about the exciting innovations in personalized medicine and patient education happening through Bounce Health Innovation here in the province.
Nutrition, exercise, keeping the cold at bay. Whatever keeps you feeling great, the Wellness and Healthy Lifestyle Show on your VOCM.
Welcome back. Today we're learning about the exciting innovations in personalized medicine and patient education that are happening through the Bounce Health Innovation Program here in the province. Let's get back to the interviews with our tech entrepreneurs. Hi, Mandy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike.
It's good to see you. For those folks that haven't maybe come across you before, can you give me a little bit of background on yourself?
Sure. My name is Mandy Woodland, and I'm the founder and CEO of AMP Health. In terms of background, I started out in medical research 25 plus years ago, and then took a big pivot into law, practiced law for a while, and then took another big pivot into tech. So now I use all those things together.
That's fantastic. And I guess that's what it is. Life takes us on a trail and we don't know how it's going to go, but it goes in the way that flows the best. And that's led you to a really exciting new organization. Can you tell me a little bit about your company, AMP Health?
Yeah, absolutely. So AMP was founded, I would say, during mid-pandemic or early stages as a real push towards working on personalized preventative health. So I've been involved in the diabetes space since 92, so aging myself a bit, but working with Diabetes Canada as a volunteer, national advocate, diabetes educator, and always wanted to do something in that space. And so working with some friends to bring this to life. So AMP is on a mission to help millions of people prevent type 2 diabetes and works on focusing on personalized behavior change using real-time patient data.
Yeah, that's right up my alley too. My PhD was in diabetes. I mean, definitely something that we have to be cognizant of as a population. Maybe you could just put it in perspective how big of an issue diabetes is, not only for people here in Newfoundland and Labrador, but you're looking at obviously a bigger picture here as well. How big of a challenge is diabetes for us?
I mean, it's massive. I think probably 10 years ago or so, we were calling it the tsunami of diabetes. But right now, one in three people worldwide are pre-diabetic. So where your blood sugar is higher than normal, but not quite high enough to be diagnosed. And over the course of about 10 years, 70% of those people will become type 2 diabetic. So it's a massive, massive cost personally, individually, as well as to our health system. And then the worldwide economy, it's a massive loss to the economic systems in many countries in terms of people not being able to show up to work, losing people from the economy itself, from disabilities related to type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize the leading cause of amputation in the world is actually diabetes. It's not being at a construction site and using a power tool. When you think about what you said there, you said some people are pre-diabetic, not diabetic. Your organization is trying to remedy that. How does your tech work?
Yeah. So what we do is connect people with a continuous glucose monitor. So that's a minimally invasive device that sits on the back of your arm, measures your blood glucose every 5 minutes for 10 days. You just forget it's there. And we pull that data and look for trends and then work with people in terms of prompting them on how to keep their blood sugar in range. So keeping your sugar in range, preventing really big blood sugar spikes is really what prevents those complications and those issues. And we have taken decades of clinical psychology research. We know what works in a one-on-one setting and now bringing that to scale to help people understand how they're motivated, how they move, how they eat, and then tying all that together from a personalized motivation perspective on how we do behavior change. We all know what we need to eat. It's fairly common sense for most people, like, I need to eat better, I need to eat well, I need to eat vegetables and fruit and drink lots of water, and I need to move. But because we know that doesn't mean it's easy to do. And so that's where we come in terms of helping people figure out what it is that causes them to spike, what it is that keeps them out of range, and then how to change that using the least amount of work possible, because that's how our brains work. We like stasis. We like things to stay the same. So how do we make people change their behavior and help people change their behavior without forcing them to do a really big change that's really hard and not sustainable?
Yeah, I think about that all the time, is that our healthcare system tends to be a sick care system, really. When people get to a certain level, then they start getting treatment. But you're trying to address the problem before it becomes a major issue. What's the benefit of addressing diabetes early on versus addressing it once you're already full diabetic or sick?
Yeah. I mean, it's like with any chronic illness, if we can address it in advance, we can do one of two things. One, completely prevent you from getting the disease in the first place, so you stay healthy. Not only does that make you functional and happy, it also saves you a lot of money. But the other thing is, even if you do progress, it will push it off. So you'll have a lot more healthy years. You'll have a lot more time before you need medication or other kinds of intervention. So at an individual level, it saves you a lot of time, frustration, and dollars. And at a systems level, it saves our system from having to manage a more complex condition and enabling people to stay healthy for longer.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard lifespan, but people forget about health span. The longer we can keep health span is a big thing. So here's the thing. Technology sometimes is seen as something that doesn't allow people to connect with one another. It keeps us apart. But in your case, it sounds like it's helping. How does leveraging technology allow you to do more for more people?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we know, not just here in Newfoundland and Labrador, but in a lot of places, we have a real shortage of primary care. And so the use of technology enables us to help people who don't necessarily have access to primary care and those who do. So we talk to a lot of physicians who wish they had more time with their diabetic or their pre-diabetic patient population. But in that like max, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes of going patient to patient, they can't spend a ton of time doing individual counseling and individual deep dives on how that person themselves needs help in behavior change. And so using technology allows us to reach more people, allows more people to get access to care that wouldn't otherwise. So we talk to a lot of places that have big rural or remote populations that just can't provide that kind of care at scale. And so that's what technology is really enabling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Our doctors are fantastic, but there's only so much they can know when you're having a conversation for a short period of time. I use my technology, my wearable tech, to see how my sleep is all the time. It's able to see my heart rate when I was at altitude in Bolivia recently, all these different things. It gives you this level of conscious incompetence or conscious competence when it comes to learning, which I think is just so critically important. Is your technology now readily available? Can people avail of it? Will they come across it somehow?
Not yet. So we're just launching our first pilots this fall. We're really excited that our first ones are in Newfoundland and Labrador and currently in the market for more pilots, particularly in the US. So we have a wait list. Folks can sign up on our website, amphealth.ca, for the wait list, but it will be in market in 2025.
That's very exciting stuff. I love seeing that. I love seeing people that are taking challenges we have in the province and turning them into innovative ways to be able to help people, but also create a brand new business at the same time. When I think about your path, which has been a very unique path, it's very inspirational. What advice would you have to other tech entrepreneurs or people that are looking at solving problems, in particular in this health tech space?
Excellent question. I think talk to as many folks as possible. I think one of the big things is that people seem to think tech is not for them for whatever reason, but tech is literally for anybody. No matter your background, there's space in the tech world for you in some form or another. The industry itself, like I just recently completed a course on AI ethics, and the industry of technology, particularly in the health space, has a real need for people from all backgrounds. And so I think there's just going to be more and more opportunities to participate, whether you're coming from a clinical background or you're coming from arts or sciences or sports. There's a space for everybody. And so I think just making connections, being part of, you talked earlier about community, right? So being part of Bounce, reaching out to the existing community, it's very welcoming having worked in a lot of different areas in tech, one of the beautiful things about health tech, I think, is that because it's really hard, everybody has some sort of intrinsic motivation to make change. And so everyone's really open and collaborative.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Not only are you trying to grow a company, but you're trying to help people in the process. And that's a really nice mission to have when you're guiding your company and you're working those long hours. And, you know, that's why I love doing this series of episodes, because it gives us a chance to celebrate people that are going that extra mile and trying to make a difference. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today. And I look forward to following up and hearing how the studies progress.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you to my guests for joining me today. As you can see, we have an incredible growing health tech sector here in the province. By using our challenges to solve problems, we're not only improving patient care, but we're also fueling our economy, which is a win-win situation for our communities. I wanted to thank the team at Bounce for coordinating all of these inspiring entrepreneurs to join us today. And if you want to learn more about Bounce, you can find them online at bounceinnovation.ca. Well, thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Wall. We'll see you back here next week for another episode of The Wall Show on your VOCM.